Judicial activism is our topic for this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is attorney Gordon Dieterle, who lives in the Palm Beach area, and in fact, he's a member of the Judicial Nominating Commission for Palm Beach County. Warning, some of the opinions in this program may be politically incorrect, but we like it that way. Gordon, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Pastor Jerry, good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Sure, absolutely. Okay, the Constitution is guaranteed or is written for we the people. And President Lincoln, in his first inaugural address, made an interesting remark that most people are not aware of. He disagreed with the Dred Scott decision of 1857, which basically implied the idea that, well, once a slave, always a slave. And Lincoln said this in that inaugural address, and I think this will sort of set the whole tone for what we're going to discuss. If the policy of the government upon vital questions affecting the whole people is to be irrevocably fixed by decisions of the Supreme Court, the people will have ceased to be their own rulers. Now, that was in 1861 when he said those words in reference to the Dred Scott decision of 1857. Here we are, post Roe v. Wade, post-same-sex marriage imposed on us by the U.S. Supreme Court and other decisions as well. And it's almost as if we've forgotten the message Lincoln was saying so many years ago.
Well, that's exactly it. And his words ring true today as they were uttered by him in 1861. And we have a situation here where the Constitution has been trampled on by men in black robes to the extent that we've had rampant judicial activism from Supreme Court and also certainly from the courts of appeal, particularly the Ninth Circuit out in California. And they have, in essence, become a legislative body and have, by fiat and by decision, effectively taken power away from the people, which belongs in their elected officials, to legislate, and instead have, in essence, legislated from the bench on any number of issues, whether it's gay marriage, abortion, you name it, property rights. There's been a number of decisions, some closely decided, some unanimous, where the courts have, in essence, acted as a legislative body in derogation of the rights of the people that's supposed to be represented by their elected officials in Congress and in the state capitals.
You know, some of the most incredible statements about the subject of the same-sex marriage and the decision against the Supreme Court's decision of Obergefell versus Hodges of 2015 come from actually dissenting Supreme Court members themselves, including Chief Justice John Roberts. But here's a quote from Samuel Alito. Quote, "I assume that those who cling to old beliefs will be able to whisper their thoughts in the recesses of their homes, but if they repeat those views in public," and again, we're talking about those who oppose same-sex marriage, that's specifically what he's talking about, "they will risk being labeled as bigots and treated as such by governments, employers, and schools." That, again, is a quote from Samuel Alito, Justice Samuel Alito of the Supreme Court in the Obergefell decision. Any remarks about Alito's comments?
Well, essentially, I agree with them. I think, first of all, I have great respect for the incredible legal mind that Justice Scalia had and his voice for support of the Constitution.
Yeah, now that quote was from Alito, and I do have others. I have some quotes from Scalia as well, but just to clarify that, go ahead.
Okay, I misheard you. I thought you said it was Justice Scalia. I also have great respect for Justice Alito as well. He's essentially correct in that we can have these kinds of discussions in private circles at our homes with our friends and family and those of like minds that are in sympathy with that. So we've been frozen out by this political correctness that has pervaded our society. And his comments and his dissent are succinct and accurate, and I agree with them wholeheartedly.
Now, since you mentioned Scalia, let me go ahead and quote to him. He talks about this decision as a naked judicial claim to legislate power, a claim fundamentally at odds with our system of government. And he also used that famous phrase about, here you have five unelected lawyers the five being the five members of the majority who voted in favor of same-sex marriage. Your comments on Scalia's remarks.
Well, Scalia's remarks are also accurate in that you had five men that formed the majority opinion legalizing same-sex marriage that decided to take power away from the people, including in states that had laws in favor of traditional marriage, by essentially overruling those laws, by having them set aside, by declaring as a right of homosexuals to marry, in derogation of the will of the people in certain states that did not have that right granted to homosexuals, and instead had laws enacted that valued a traditional marriage.
Well, the and thing, so, yeah, yeah, go ahead.
So Justice Scalia is absolutely right that the majority in that case essentially was a legislative body in coming down with that decision. And the five men, well, not all men, some of them were women too. We had
three women voted for that decision.
Justice Kagan, Justice Sotomayor were in the majority. These justices are not accountable to the people. They are lifetime appointments to the bench. They're not subject to any oversight. They're not subject to the voters, to the people. They're unaccountable for their decisions. And unlike in Florida, where Florida Supreme Court justices are on the ballot for retention every 4 years, that is not the case with Article III federal judges who are lifetime appointments. So in the case of the Supreme Court, they're lifetime appointments. On the federal district court, there is an age limit, but they're ultimately, Pastor Jerry, no accountability. There's no recourse that the voters, that the citizens have with regard to rampant judicial activism that we've seen in that case and in other cases that have handed down, such as the Kelo versus City of London case that was decided a few years back on inverse condemnation that took place in New London, Connecticut.
In fact, I'd be happy to address that or have you address that in just a moment, but I just want to say a couple things, too, about the Obergefell. Two of the justices, two of the women, Kagan and Ginsburg, had actually overseen that as attorneys, as justices of the court, they had actually participated in same-sex unions, weddings. You know, they said them. They said them as, a minister or a justice of the peace. And so, some people were saying, well, they should be recused, from participating in that. And so I think that was an interesting remark. I don't know if you wanted to say anything about that. I guess I got the impression that it was almost, well, if they were going to recuse themselves, that was up to them. And they obviously chose not to.
Right, and that's a fair point, and I was aware of that as well, and the fact that they had officiated, Justice Ginsburg, and I believe Justice Kagan, had presided over same-sex weddings in states where they were technically legal, to me raised some questions as to their objectivity and impartiality in being able to render a decision based on the merits and not based on some personal affinity with same-sex marriage.
Chief Justice John Roberts said when the decision came out, he said, hey, you may like the effect of this decision. You may be in favor of same-sex marriage, and there it is, so you're happy that the court has ruled this way. But everybody should recognize this has nothing to do with the Constitution. Now, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but that is an amazing, astounding statement. And Clarence Thomas said this, and here's a direct quote that Obergefell, quote, exalts judges at the expense of the people from whom they derive their authority, end quote. So how about comments on those two remarks?
Justice Roberts has been a disappointment to conservatives since his appointment as Chief Justice by President Bush. He's written the lead opinion that affirmed Obamacare. I solely agree with Justice Thomas' comments that I believe truly revealed the nature of of the process, the decision-making that went into this opinion that legalized same-sex marriage in the United States.
Okay, the court made a decision in, I believe it was 2005, the Kelo decision. You've already referred to it in New London, Connecticut. But explain about this. The Constitution allows for something called eminent domain, where, let's say, if the state or a state agrees, you know, that it's for the common good to use this property to build a hospital or to build a school or, you know, highway or something like that, then they can give due compensation to the people that own the property and so forth. But Kelo was different, although it was based on this eminent domain principle. Explain Kelo and why is that frightening to any of us?
To all of us,
well,
really.
I think it's frightening to the extent that it basically opened up the door to the taking, the potential taking of private property for any purpose. You know, inverse condemnation, eminent domain is allowed for under the Constitution. Taking can occur upon the paying of fair compensation, fair value to the property owner for a proper purpose that benefits the public. That's how canals were built in this country. Railroads were constructed on private lands to advance commerce. All that's been part of our history and certainly constitutional as long as the taking is done with notice and due process is complied with and compensation that's fair to the owner is paid. Kelo's a different animal altogether because it can allow for the condemning of private land for purposes that don't necessarily benefit the public, but benefit private interests, private entities, and so forth. That wasn't the purpose of the inverse condemnation clause in the U.S. Supreme Court. So that further weakens the rights of property owners, and it's not the proper purpose of why that provision in the Constitution was allowed for, because it doesn't necessarily serve a public purpose if the condemnation is done for the benefit of, say, a developer, for example, as in the Kelo case.
Yeah. Okay, how about some remarks about abortion? Abortion on demand is a product of judicial activism because of Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton.
Absolutely, and it's one of the greatest tragedies in our country's history in terms of the misuse of the power of the court to regulate who gets to live and who gets to die. And unfortunately, that's led to the deaths of tens of millions of children in this country. And it's an abomination. But it's unfortunately become institutionalized in our country based on court rulings that have affirmed Roe since that case. The Webster case is another example where we got very close to overturning Roe v. Wade, but it was a 5-4 decision that ultimately reaffirmed the right to an abortion. And what's even more distressing is that in Florida, where you and I live, there is an explicit right to privacy, and abortion was ultimately decided to be constitutional because of a woman's right to privacy and to do with her body as she deems fit, to do what is in her best interest in terms of her making appropriate health decisions. Florida's gone a step further, actually, because under Article 1, Section 23 of the Florida Constitution, there's an explicit right to privacy, which is not in the U.S. Constitution, but has been recognized starting with the Griswold case and then leading up to Roe v. Wade and other cases since then. But Florida has an explicit right to privacy provision in its Constitution, which in 1989, in the In re T.W. case, Justice Saw expanded that right to privacy for a minor not to be able to obtain notice from a parent that she was seeking to have an abortion. So you talk about judicial activism. Our own Supreme Court has run amok with that by misconstruing and overstretching the right to privacy section in the Florida Constitution to include abortion.
Wow. All right, we're basically out of time, but thank you so much for illuminating us on the whole issue of judicial activism. Gordon Dieterle, an attorney, also member of the Judicial Nominating Commission for Palm Beach County. FamanLaw.com for more information. Faman is spelled F-E-A-M-A-N. Thank you so much, Gordon. God bless you and all the best.
Thank you, Pastor Jerry. God bless you as well, and thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today.
Okay, thanks now. All right, bye-bye.